This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. They may look benign, but those swaying plants with the yellow flowers you see along roadsides and maybe even on your own property at this time of year are possibly dangerous. That is, if what you're seeing is poison parsnip. The Vermont Department of Health and the Agency of Agriculture recently sent out a warning to Vermonters that this plant is ubiquitous and it can cause severe reactions on your skin if you come into contact with the plant's sap. We reached out to Tim Schmaltz to get a deeper understanding of this plant. He's the plant pathologist with the Agency of Agriculture.
It's a biennial, so it has typically a two-summer growing season. The first year is when the seed germinates and it establishes a strong taproot, which is very similar to the parsnip that you're familiar with seeing in the grocery store, and is actually taxonomically the same plant. Depending upon who you ask, it may be either Pastrnaca sativa, variety sativa, or just Pastrnaca sativa. But both of those are basically the same plant. So those of you who didn't like parsnips as children have yet another reason to be ambivalent about them now that you're grown up. Anyway, so it's a biennial, and the first year, it's this above-ground portion of the plant is what we call a basal rosette of leaves, which is not unlike what you'd see in your garden if you're growing parsnips or carrots or parsley or any other of the members of that family of umbelliferous plants. That above-ground portion dies down in the fall of the first year, but the taproot remains, just like a carrot. And the second season, a flowering stem or flowering shoot emerges, which is accompanied by a lot of leaves, bipinnately compound leaves, which is to say they're complex leaves with multiple small leaflets on a central leaf stem. But it's also accompanied by these characteristic yellow flowers at the top of a stem that may be anywhere from 4 to 6 feet tall, which is what people are typically familiar with when they think of wild parsnip growing along roadsides or invading fields.
Yeah, it can be quite tall. I mean, it can be taller than you if you're walking beside it. It's a tall plant. And it sort of resembles Queen Anne's lace a little bit, the flower does, in that sort of circular flower type.
And it's actually first cousin to Queen Anne's lace, so that's an apt description that it has that sort of inverted umbrella shape or an umbrella shape, so a central stem and then lots of very small flowers coming out of a central point.
This can be a dangerous plant. What does poison parsnip do to your skin?
A lot of the plants actually in this family contain what chemists would call furocumarins, which are a group of chemicals that in combination with ultraviolet light and human or animal skin can cause what we call a phytophotodermatitis or photophytodermatitis, which is a dermatitis caused by a combination of your skin, the sun, and the compounds within the plant's sap. Parsnip and these other members of the umbelliferae family don't typically cause a reaction in people when you just casually brush up against them the way you would find with poison ivy or poison oak or stinging nettles, plants of that sort. In most cases, what has to happen is that the sap within the plant, the juices in the plant, have to come in contact with your skin. So you'd have to damage the plant in some way or break the stem or rub the sap up against your skin. And then on top of that, in order for the reaction to complete, you typically need to have some kind of reaction occurring as a result of ultraviolet light contacting that sap on your skin.
But there are many ways for that to happen, obviously, you know, whether you're picking the plant by hand or just doing some weed whacking and you know, getting the plant pieces on your exposed skin. What does it actually do if then you have sunlight on your skin and you're exposed to the sap?
It can result in very uncomfortable rashes and blisters, not at all unlike a second-degree burn from fire or a heat source. It is a serious reaction in most cases. So if you are actively working with this plant and are mowing it or weed whacking it or pulling it up or something like that, you should be very careful to avoid exposing your skin or other tissues of your body, eyes and the inside of your nose and things of that sort, to this sap, because you don't want these reactions. They can be quite unpleasant. Redness, blistering, open sores, the whole gamut of symptoms that you associate with a second-degree burn. And in fact, it is kind of a chemical burn them. So when you are working with these plants, you should make sure that you're covering yourself up, wearing gloves. Safety glasses is not a bad idea. Long pants, long sleeve shirt, boots. Don't go out in a bathing suit and flip-flops and start weed whacking these things.
If you've already done that, what should you do? If you realize I have this sap on my skin, is there any way to prevent a reaction?
I don't know what the best way to prevent the reaction would be outside of getting out of the sun immediately and washing yourself with copious amounts of soap and water.
The health department also recommends if you know you have been exposed once you've washed off, to wear clothing that prevents exposure to the sun for another 48 hours so that you're not exposing, even after you've washed, that skin to the sunlight.
And then obviously if you do see a reaction on your skin, probably a good idea to talk to a doctor about what the best approach to managing that reaction would be.
Tim, I am seeing a ton of it this year, not only in my own property, but all around the roads and throughout Vermont. It's something the Agency of Agriculture and the Department of Health are highlighting. Are we seeing more poison parsnip than normal, or an increase that is continuing to go up, and should we be looking for and looking at a lot of these plants on into the future?
I think as long as the plant is present and unmanaged, we will probably see increasing numbers of plants until some new equilibrium is reached. There are pests of this plant that are out there that may increase a number proportional to the number of plants we're seeing, and that may provide some measure of control over the long term. I think, though, that the numbers of seeds that are being produced by these plants, as the number of plants increase, obviously the number of seeds will increase, and those seeds remain viable in the soil or on the soil surface for up to 4 or 5 years. So we'll probably be seeing increasing numbers of these plants in the local localities where the plant is established. As far as the overall landscape is concerned, I think parsnip is here. It's going to stay in the environment. I hope very much that some of these natural controls will establish an equilibrium state with the plant so that we don't see it taking over large areas of unmanaged property, unmanaged landscapes.
Are you concerned that it might take over?
There's always that concern with any system that is out of balance. How far will things go? There are certainly examples of introduced plants and other organisms in ecosystems where they have gone beyond simply being in an equilibrium state. The obvious cases are things like chestnut blight or Dutch elm disease, and to some extent things like gypsy moth, insects like that, where the pest has been unchecked in its new environment and it ends up altering that ecosystem as a result of that organism's introduction. There are others where something has happened within that ecosystem to bring that organism into some balance. Bronze birch borer is an example of a pest that a lot of tree pest managers were very concerned about 20 years ago or so, but that pest has not become the threat to birch trees that they initially thought it would. So it remains to be seen what happens with parsnip, if it becomes the plant that ate New England, or if it just becomes a sort of a presence in the landscape that we just learn to live with, but that it doesn't take over.
That was Tim Schmaltz, plant pathologist with the Agency of Agriculture. If you're a landowner and you'd like to manage poison parsnip on your property, Tim says you can mow the plant or use herbicides. But he cautions that you should mow before the flowers have gone to seed. If you see the flowers setting seed, bag them up so the seeds don't get into the soil. He says most of the herbicides that are out there for poison parsnip control are best used in the spring or fall, not at this time of year. And lastly, he says, don't get discouraged if you feel like you're not seeing much progress in your initial efforts to beat back the plant.
It's important to realize the seed bank is probably present on the property, and that you will see emergent parsnip plants coming along as your control activities continue. It will probably remain a problem in those areas for several years after you start.
But he says you should eventually see success, so keep at it if you're trying to get rid of poison parsnip.